Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to SSR 2 plenary number 92 on the 27th of November 2019 at 1500 UTC. Members attending the call today include Elaine, Denise, Russ, Norm, Eric, Lauren, and Scott. Apologies from Nagar. Guests joining us today include Natalie Vernol and Steve Shang, observers Ali Hussein and Christina Hakobian. Attending from ICANN.org is Jennifer and Brenda. And I forgot to mention, we do have apologies from Steve as well. Technical writer Heather Flanagan is on the call, and today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. Russ, I will turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Hi, I think the first thing we are going to do today is hear from Steve. Basically, he's going to share with us how SSAC does the prioritization to see if there's anything we want to lift from the way they do it for prioritizing our recommendations.
Okay, shall I go?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Russ, and members of the review team. I was asked to share a little bit about how SSAC does prioritization, which it recently conducted at its workshop September this year. If you could please to the next slide. The SSAC, just a little bit background on the SSAC exercise. So the SSAC wishes to kind of do a ranking of the various threats to the DNS ecosystem. In the approach, the purpose of the exercise is really for the SSAC to determine what areas they should be studying. So they did a systematic analysis. Before the workshop, the SSAC members and the ICANN support staff, they did a environmental scan. So they did a broad scan of the various threats to the DNS ecosystem, and they listed into a couple of sections. Those are, for example, in the DNS infrastructure, DNS namespace protocol, DNS abuse, IP addressing and routing, as well as registration services. So at the SSAC workshop, there's a two-step. By the way, my colleague Natalie has been very instrumental in helping SSAC going through this exercise. And the methodology we use, largely was borrowed from the ICANN organization. So the process is a two-step process, essentially. The first day, the SSAC members during lunch are grouped by subject matter areas, which were previously assigned. So each of the six areas that I mentioned. And then they consider, holistically all those threats articulated in that area, and they do a ranking approach. So they rank the severity as well as the probability. So then this is, at the table, each of the table has one staff supporting the effort, and then the discussions were noted down, on those two dimensions. So after that, the next day, when all the six groups did the exercise, and then, the top ones, so like the top, each group contribute to the top five. So there, in total, we have about 20 or 25. And then a subsequent effort, which was the whole SSAC got together And then we went through a similar exercise. In this case, we start by asking, you know, the chair start by asking the SAC, you know, of all the things, this is high priority items on the list, were there anything missing from the list? And there, you know, there were some members contribute a few more of those, and those were added. And once that section completes, each SAC members were given, for example, five votes, essentially. And then they, you know, we put all of these on a flip chart, you know, by sections. And then we did this exercise where each members, you know, go to each of to the flip chart. And, you know, if they think this is a issue or threat that is really important, that is really severe, you know, they put a marker or they put a pin next to it. And then the final result was tallied. That's how the SAC arrived at its final ranking. You know, I want to preface this by saying, you know, this is the first of such exercise, initial exercise. So the methodology, you know, is being refined as we speak. And the SAC will likely to do another iteration. So that's kind of a broad overview of the methodology. Are there any questions?
So this is Russ. One question is, when the pins were being put in, if somebody thought one was way, way, way important, could they put all five of their pins on the same topic, or were they required to spread them?
I think they are requested to spread them, but let me refer that to Natalie. My understanding, my recollection was they can only put one pin next to one item rather than, you know, put all five pins next to one.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hi everyone, this is Natalie Vernal. I am Director of Strategic Planning and I did assist Steve in putting together the methodology for SAC. Maybe we can go to the next slide to give you a little bit more of a visual of what the first step looked like on the risk rating. So from that first step was really looking at, so they had a set of about 50 or 60 threats, and they were looking to rank those threats in terms of risks that for ICANN in general, and so they used this matrix, and really the important thing is to consider which are the two angles against which you're going to do your ranking. And so here it was risks. So for risks, you evaluate risks in terms of impact and in terms of likelihood of occurrence. And then you have to define, it's important to define your scale and to agree on what the different elements of the scale mean, so that the important part is that everybody shares the understanding and agrees on what a 4 means, what a 5 means, so that when you apply the ranking to a given element, you apply a similar ranking for a similar level of, so you have something that looks similar in the end. So that's the important part, is really to focus on what are your criterias and what are the definitions associated with the different levels that you use on your scale. And so that's how they got to their first level of narrowing down that list from 60 to a list of 20, 25. Basically, they broke into subgroups, and each subgroup looked at a few of those risks, so each of them had a manageable number of risks to look at, and agreed on assigning the ranking of those different risks to the different elements, and then they combined all those results and got to this initial list of, well, okay, these are all my four, fives and fours, okay, so these are the ones that I'm going to focus on, they are my critical and unacceptable items. These are the ones I'm going to focus on. And from there, that's how they got to the 2025. And from there, they did the voting. And there was a discussion about, so we have five votes. Can we put all our votes on one item? There was some back and forth about this. And again, it's really just everybody agreeing on a methodology. There's no good way or bad way of doing it. It's just agreeing on a way that works for everyone. They decided, no, we're not gonna, you have to vote on separate items. So you can only apply one vote to one item. And that's how they got to their final list of organizing things in priorities. If I can take a few more minutes, I did want to bring up a few other possibilities or methodologies to do prioritization. If we can go, Brenda, skip the next slide, and go to the one after. One more. Okay, so you most of you are probably very familiar with all of this. This is very very classic prioritization methodology, where you can do this sort of value versus complexity matrix. So you look at your recommendations in terms of efforts to implement the recommendation, in terms of value, what's the benefit of this recommendation, and basically. You start with your top left items, so the items that are the biggest value and the lowest effort, and then you move on to the top right, so the ones that are still the highest value, and bigger efforts. But knowing that, what's interesting with this way of looking at things is also identifying those items in the lower left corner. So those are sort of your low-hanging fruits. So things that, you know, are maybe easy to implement and nice to have, that you might want to also just scatter around as you go through your implementation. And if we go to the next slide, one other way to look at things is, which is a little more analytical or mathematical, is to do a scorecard. So, but that's maybe a little more complex. So you define a set of different criterias, you assign a weight to your different criterias, and again, you agree on a scaling of how you're gonna rank your recommendations against those different criterias, and you assign those ratings, and that gives you a final scoring. And from that, you can rank your items, but the highest score becomes your number one item, and so forth. Back to you, Brett, I think.
Okay, thank you for this overview. Does anyone have any other questions?
Denise has her hand raised.
Okay, go ahead, Denise.
Hi, thanks Steve and Natalie for joining us and for this presentation. We appreciate it. I was in transit and didn't see most of your slides, so apologies if it was displayed there and I missed it, but how do you use the process that was outlined? Is it to determine what ESSAC will work on? Or are there other issues as well?
Right. Thanks, Denise. I mean, the primary purpose is for ESSAC to determine what area, what study areas they should be working on. So,
right.
Obviously, there's in addition to, you know, the severity, you know, and the likelihood, but there's also membership interest. membership expertise and membership time. So those are also factored into the decision, but that's a separate from this ranking exercise.
Right. Yeah, I can see how this certainly would have been useful at the beginning of the SSR2's work, when we had a really big list of issues people were interested in and trying to winnow it down. And so once ESSAC goes through this process and assigns a weight or ranking to the various issue areas, then what happens?
Well, I think from the very top of the list, the goal is to study the areas that are most important, most significant. And then from the top of the list, then the members will go through and see what can be done, if anything, on those. I mean, some of the things are outside ICANN's control or influence areas. So then in those areas, there's probably not much to be done. There are others that, you know, can be done, is within the advice remit area, within the ESSAC. So then they have a further discussion, you know, what do we do about this topic? There's a lot of things going on, but, you know, I think it needs to be very precise to make an impact on those particular areas. Yeah.
Sure. And then once that activity is done and an issue has been identified that ranks highly and is within the remit of both ICANN and ESSAC, then work is undertaken. Is that what happens?
I mean, that's the expectation from the ESSAC, and this is an exercise for the ESSAC initiated, so it's not for, you know, what ICANN should be doing.
Right? No, I understand. I'm just trying to understand how it fits into to the workflow. And so once a high ranking item that is deemed within ESSAC's purview and ICANN's purview, then ESSAC works on it, writes a report. Is that right, where this is in the workflow? Yeah.
That's the thought. But I mean, obviously there are some areas that, you know, there's only certain things, a limited remit for ICANN, right? So it's also, I mean, the ESSAC is advising the board and the community. So it's kind of a narrow scope on those areas.
That's why I added those two caveats. But then ESSAC writes a report.
Right.
And then the report is approved by the ESSAC team and then it goes to the board. Is that still the process?
Yeah, are you talking about in general how the ESSAC work is? Yeah, so when the ESSAC writes a report.
How this fits into the ESSAC workflow. I don't know if everyone's aware of ESSAC's workflow, just wanted to clarify that. So this is, if it's a funnel, a report funnel, this is more the beginning of the report funnel. A report is written. Yeah.
Denise, so this is more of an exercise to identify study areas. And then for the study areas that the ESSAC determined, they will go a deeper dive. That's where the study into detail. And then they issue the report to the board. It's an advice to the board and to the community. So that's the workflow.
Right. And then of all the various reports that ESSAC has pending or sent to the board, has the board ever asked you to come back and prioritize the different reports against each other and rank them?
To my knowledge, there was no such request. I mean, there were some questions in the past on, you know, what does this advice mean? Can you clarify the advice? So I think those are through the ARR process, the board advice tracking process, understanding of requests. So I think those are handled separately. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Any other questions?
There are no other hands raised, Russ.
Sorry, I'm on the phone. This is Lauren. I just wanted to go back to the timelines here. So from what I've understood, this process was a multi-day event with group sessions going back and forth. What do you think is the kind of minimum of time we would need to prioritize, let's say, 25 items like that, like from your experience having done something like this?
You know, I can start, Lauren, thank you for that question. And this is Steve. I can start and then perhaps my colleague Natalie can weigh in. I think the one thing, you know, I certainly learned that it is important to, you know, coming into the discussion to articulate as much detail as possible of those, you know, 25 or 20 items. One of the things, you know, in the ESSAC discussion, it turns out, you know, some of those issues were not clear enough, and then people were going back and forth. So I think to do enough preparatory work, as much work as possible, you know, it's critical. And second, you know, the other thing I learned is to allow enough time up front in the beginning for those breakouts to work out the ranking first, because that's where, you know, a lot of the discussion happens, and properly note those down. And then I think, you know, once those, if those two steps are done well, then, you know, the rest will be easier. Probably needs a good moderator. In our case, I think Natalie and also James from the ICANN risk department also help us a little bit. So I think those help are invaluable. So in total, I think this probably, you know, if we clap this probably can be collapsed in a day. So it can be done in one day, you know, morning and afternoon. I mean, we did it in 2 days just because the ESSAC workshop starts at the noon of the first day and then goes to the second day. Natalie, anything you want to add?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it can be pretty fast. It very much depends on also what you decide to go with in terms of methodology. It's very important to have that very well defined in the beginning. What are the criterias and what are the definitions of the different scales that you're going to apply? Because it was one item that kept coming back in the discussion about people asking, well, what do we mean by a number five? What do we mean by this? What do we mean by that? And so having that you're going to do your ranking again are really key. Them, so you're not going to have that issue of not knowing what you're talking about, but then it's probably as Steve said, allow enough time for those discussions in subgroups, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, I would say for that, and then coming back together. Probably, yeah, another 2 or 3 hours if you decide to do a voting and then look in. I mean, you have to look at the whole thing, agree on, well, this is the ranking. Okay, we agree on that. And then if you do the voting, it takes a little bit of time, and then going through a little more discussion. So it's, Yeah, between a half day to a full day exercise, I would say.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Okay, if there are no more questions, we thank you guys for coming by, and we're going to move on to the next agenda topic.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'll jump off. Bye.
Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about is filling the gaps. There's been several emails about this. The agenda included a pointer to a spreadsheet with 12 items in it where we needed some findings text. I'd like to just go through those and find out where we are and make sure that we all understand where we are and what needs done and whether we agree with the text that was added. So the first one was the Workstream 2 needs intro text. That was Denise. Did that happen yet?
I'm sorry, intro text for
which stream section? Two.
Ah, no.
Okay.
But it will.
All right. Thank you. All right. Can we? I know it's a holiday coming up, but will we be able to get that by the call next week?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. All right, the next one was the C-suite security position. Carrie Ann's not on the call, but she had agreed to do that. Jumping over to the Google Doc to see if something was added.
Russ, this is Heather. Carrie Ann said she had not actually done that and she was going to work on it on her flight home.
Okay. Thank you. I missed that part of her note. All right, the next one is the security risk management. Matagoro had agreed to put that in with a note that Lauren can help. Matagoro is at a funeral, so let's see.
Russ, I believe he hadn't added any text yet. He said he was going to share it shortly to the list.
Yeah, I don't see it either. Okay. Business continuity management. Lauren.
Hi, all. So business continuity management and this whole aspect, if you look at Boban's email, so he's the kind of one taking charge. And I will figure out a time with him to do that, hopefully by next week, but definitely in 2 weeks' time. I'll be traveling next week. That's why it might be difficult to add that.
Okay. And so, Lauren, does your statement cover the disaster recovery as well?
Yes, Russ. Let me just pull up the email that might not be in everyone's inbox. So he said here, security risk management, business continuity management, and disaster recovery.
Okay. And the next one is abusive naming, which is also Lauren.
Yes, there is some text in the doc right now. I have noticed there is interaction, if you want, with these findings and with the compliance text. Nevertheless, something is there for everyone to look at.
Thank you. It looks like there's a couple comments in here as well.
Oh, that is good. I had not seen those.
This is Heather. The comments were added by Denko to the recommendation. The findings were I don't think Dengo saw those because he's read it after he had gone through the document.
I see. Okay. So, Lauren, can you quickly kind of give an overview of what we're going, just to see whether the team is in step with that?
Russ, absolutely. Let me just get Google Docs to do what I wanted to do.
I think it's page 38, if that helps you.
Page 38 of the recs and findings document.
Yeah, it's abusive naming findings, Josh. Yes. So yeah. Essentially, starting with, you know, this kind of abuse exists, right? Abuse through misleading naming. This is a question, I think, where we as a team have to think about how we want to define misleading naming and abusive naming, and how we want those to relate to each other. So I have written this under the idea, okay, misleading naming is, you know, the thing per se, right? It might not be on purpose, and it becomes abusive if the quality of being misleading is being used to commit crime, et cetera, et cetera. So I give one example here where a Danish word looks pretty similar to Googling, whatever. I'm sure there are better examples. I just couldn't come up with something. So I think that would be the distinction I propose. So essentially then we're speaking to visually indistinguishable as a problem, right? And the TLD chaining problem, you know, you make it look like it's google.com, but actually it's a subdomain, right? Names containing trademarks, this is again an area where things might become difficult. What's a trademark in one country is not in another, so we might have to add some text there. And then the use of hard to spot typos, et cetera, et cetera. So we agreed, Russ, when we were writing this, to kind of say we put all of this under that umbrella. So that I restated. Impact of the recommendation, right? So we kind of speak to, you know, consumers and corporations being affected, and that abusive naming might impact on ICANN's perceived legitimacy. For example, I have seen comments on I think the Yelp reviews or something, where people are really unhappy about this kind of stuff. I lost my line. Then I give this example from Danish. And we're kind of saying at the same time, some types of abusive names can be spotted rather easily by registrars. For example, if Facebook login, Facebook dash login, whatever else kind of is registered in bulk, that is pretty clear. And we think that you cannot remove a misleading naming and the abuse of it, but you can definitely curtail it. So implementation, this would obviously start with the registrars because they're the people who see this first, at least that is my understanding and position. We can discuss this. And then I think one really important aspect is this misleading naming. It's very difficult for us to say now how this will look like 5 years from now, which then means how do we track this, et cetera, et cetera. I put down the system should be developed within the next 24 months. That's also open for discussion, but considering there would have to be some form of study. I know that the Google Chrome team did something. We talked to, I think, Emily Russ, right? I can't remember exactly. But there is not much else, so that probably would have to be studied. Then algorithms or toolkits would have to be developed. So this might take some time. And then the measure of success, there is three things, I think. One would be tracking. This could be included in DAR, as mentioned above. And then identify it, obviously. And the last thing is discourage the use of this type of stuff. And obviously, one and two can be tracked, but how much it's being discouraged is obviously a counterfactual, so there's no measurement possibility to really say what would have happened if something else had been in place or nothing, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
Does anyone think that there's something that needs to be added or done differently here? Okay, moving.
Russ, quick comment from Lauren again, sorry. As I said, we have to look at this one, I think, again, in terms of timing, and particularly when we kind of have maybe a more final stage, because we have similar text and similar issues being mentioned in the compliance and anti-abuse space. So I will make a comment after that in the Google Docs so we don't forget.
Okay, thank you. All right, the next one is the DNS testbed. Eric, you had the pen here. I don't know if you got to it yet.
Yeah, I noted in the spreadsheet that the first draft is done as recommendations. It's posted in the Google Doc as a suggestion.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's on page 39 for other people. Okay, so basically, I think you're just saying Okto started this. We want them to keep going.
I think that was my recollection, that was the consensus we reached, so that's just how I bent it.
Okay. So anyone have any suggestions or guidance here? Okay, hearing none. Diana Portal, Elaine had the action here.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Hear you fine.
Okay, good. Okay, I've drafted text which I sent, I think, this morning or yesterday. So I'm expecting review and comment. And I've seen also questions or comments from the technical writer asking about the recommendations. I think the answer should come from the review of the team, because from the finding, I thought that the recommendation should be written differently. And so I would like to hear from the team. And so I think people should be free to edit the document or ask questions if I'm ready to provide more information, but I think going through the document should give everybody enough information, and then it will be easy to see if the recommendation, the way I drafted the recommendation, if it might or probably maybe may need some adjustment or some change on the write-up. So I'm open to see to get feedback from the team.
Okay, so I believe this was on email, not in the Google Doc. Is that right?
Yes, I didn't put it in the Google Doc yet. I just sent the document. Okay, so, but if you want me,
I'm just trying to help people find it, Alan.
No, but if it could be easier for them to find it in the document, I can also put it there. But, so it depends. I thought a prior review of some of the team member before it goes there maybe helpful, that's why I didn't put it there. So
Okay, has anyone had a chance to look at the text proposed here? And if so, do we have any advice for Alan? I saw Heather responded to his note.
And that's, if you allow me, I think the text I put there is not only the Diana Portel per se. It talk about the host zone management system at the whole, not only the portel. So I don't know if we want to just narrow it down to the Diana Portel, but if that's the case, yes. But the document is about the host zone change management system. So the whole host zone management system, including the portal and the other practices used to manage the root zone. So it's more than just the portal.
Okay, so what do you have any specific questions that the team can answer on while we're on the call together? Or what's the next step?
Okay, I think I would like to, I like what, I don't remember her name, the technical writer. So I think I almost rewrite the recommendations, and I would like the team to look at it, okay, and see if it fit in. But I think, but if you want to look at the recommendations, then you have to look at again the test, the finding. But I think I want the team to look at the recommendation compared to what we had in the document. I think not big changes, but change in the message change, or also the issue we address also is more high level than what it is in the current recommendation. So I think if the team could look at that one, compare the two recommendations, the old one and the one that would be useful. That'd be a good discussion point.
Heather, do you think it's appropriate to put that in the Google Doc so that everything's in one place?
I can absolutely do that. What I'm hearing is that since we're trying to compare the two recommendations, the one as originally stands and this revised one, I'll keep them both there so it's easier for people to compare and contrast.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so to the whole team, would you please look at that this week so that we can sort that out by the end of by the call next week. Okay, the next one is name collisions. Scott, I think you're on the call.
Yep, I am. So reading through this, I mean, I know Russ, you had sent me a note on this. It seems pretty straightforward. What are we looking for anything specific on this?
We're looking, we have the recommendation text and that's pretty straightforward. What we're looking for is the findings that lead to that recommendation.
Okay, I will work on that.
Okay, thank you. And even though it's a holiday week, would you be able to get to it by this call next week?
Yeah, that's no problem. I'll work on it today and tomorrow.
Great, thank you. And Carrie Ann has not done the privacy yet. Is Casey on the call?
Casey is not on the call.
Okay. Last time she was the only one who was not wanting to delete the research briefings, so we're waiting to hear her argument. And the last one is Eric on DOE.
Yeah, as I noted in the spreadsheet, I've done a pass, and I've added things that I think address at least what I think were the outstanding Delta of where we needed to go. And I guess really among other people, Zarco should probably take a look at it since he brought it up to our attention. But it's in the doc. It's there for everyone to review.
Great. That starts on page 51.
This is Heather. Eric, one of the things I was looking for DOE was the ICANN strategic objective tie-in.
I thought that was up. That was to be to do. I thought we already had that.
Not okay. For DOE.
No, we added that one after we did that. Actually,
I think Zarco should do that since he brought the DOE up.
I agree with you. Good luck. Okay, can you take a look at that over the next week, Eric?
I will, and unfortunately, I'm about to have to jump off because my 11 o'clock is coming now, so I may disappear in a minute, but I'll take a look and see what I can do, and we should also hopefully get Zarco involved in this.
Drop him an email. Okay, so hopefully we will be done with filling all these gaps on the call next week. Please keep working at it so that we have the full thing to deal with when we get together in January. If you'll notice the spreadsheet that Heather has, there's a material needs tab and there's a full list tab. Full list tab is our next set of work. So if you want to look ahead, you can see there some of that has already gotten accomplished, other is not. But we'll be building the next set of action items from that once we have finished filling in the material needed. Okay. I think that brings us to the end, unless there's any other business someone wants to raise. Not hearing any. So, Jennifer, I think we had two action items. One was for people who had not yet done the assignments in the spreadsheet to do them. And the second is for everyone to on the team to review the new findings text that has been added.
That matches with mine, Russ.
Okay. All right, great. Then for those in the U.S., enjoy the holiday, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks. Thanks, Russ.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.